Please pray with me. Lord God, take my lips this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. And take our wills and set them on fire with such love for yourself that we cannot be, after hearing your word, the same people we were before. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning in our midst. And Jesus, we pray these things in your powerful name. Amen. Now this morning, our focus is going to be compassion. In our gospel reading this morning, we're confronted by Jesus' humanity as we witness his emotional reaction, his compassion towards a grieving widow. So we're taking a look at Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 11, if you want to follow along. It's on page 863 of the Pew Bibles. Today we're going to first understand what compassion really is. Then we're going to discuss the four stages of compassion as witnessed in our reading from Luke chapter 7. Then we will close with what compassion means for anyone who would claim to be a follower of Jesus. Now, compassion is commonly misunderstood. I believe that firmly. Compassion can easily be confused with sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is the first level. It's the feeling that you have when you care about and feel sorry for someone else. Sympathy can be expressed as, "Oh, poor you. I'm so sorry for you." The next level would be empathy. Empathy is the feeling that you understand and share another person's experiences and emotions. You share someone else's feelings as you yourself have experienced them. Empathy can be expressed as, "I understand what you're feeling. I've been there. I know what you're going through." Compassion goes one step further than empathy. Compassion is feeling what that other person is feeling. It's holding and accepting it. And then compassion leads you to take some kind of action. Compassion, therefore, would be expressed as, "I understand what you're feeling, and I'm motivated to help." Throughout the gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry, Jesus' compassion is noted and it's recorded. And as we discuss compassion this morning, you're going to see what I call the four stages of compassion. The four stages of compassion are see, connect, discern, and do. See, connect, discern, and do. A member of Redeemer recently told me of her encounter with a struggling young woman. She pulled up to a light and she looked over and she saw a young woman looking down at her feet, and clearly this woman was in need. The Redeemer member saw her and she rolled down her window and she said, "Can I help you?" So she saw her and then she connected with her. And as the woman humbly shared her needs for groceries for her family, the Redeemer member heard. She listened to the woman. She felt her pain. And this Redeemer member was deeply moved and began to weep. She discerned very quickly what the Lord was leading her to do, and then she reached into her purse and handed the woman all of the money in her purse and said, "Young woman, I'm hoping that you are going to use this for food." And the woman said, yes, ma'am," and began to weep. And the Redeemer member said, "I will be praying for you," and handed her the money and then drove away. See, connect, discern, and do. And as we look at the New Testament, there's a primary Greek word for compassion utilized in the Gospels. And that Greek word can be pronounced splunknizomai. Splunknizomai. That's a great word, isn't it? There's no stronger word in the Greek language for sympathy, and it's used again and again referring to Jesus. Now, this is more than sympathy, empathy, or pity. This word, splunknizomai, carries the sense of being moved with compassion, deeply moved, and moved to take action. Jesus used this concept of compassion twice in the midst of his teaching in parables. In Luke chapter 10, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the Levite and the priest saw the wounded man lying on the side of the road, but they walked by. They didn't have time to help the injured Jewish man. But the Samaritan, when he saw him, look at Luke 10, verse 33. A Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where the injured man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The Samaritan was moved with compassion, and so deeply moved that he put himself in danger to care for him and then to take him to an inn. He saw, he connected, he discerned, and then he did. This is the word splunknizomai utilized in our gospel reading this morning, describing Jesus' reaction to the scene before him. So again, we're on Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 11, page 863. So actually, taking a look first at verse 12. As Jesus drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Picture the scene. There's mourning, there's wailing, there's a huge crowd following this woman. And we read that Jesus saw her. He saw her. And then he connected with her. Now, how did he connect? How did he know all of this about the widow and her only son? Did he ask someone what was going on? Did he listen and hear what they were talking about? Perhaps Jesus was God the Son. Perhaps he just knew. Well, it doesn't matter. Look at verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, splunknizomai. And he said to her, do not weep. Jesus saw her, and he was deeply moved by what he saw. And he was moved with compassion. And in that moment, discerning God's heart, he immediately knew what he was to do next. And he took action. And the three things he did were shocking. First, we see here Jesus says to the widow, do not weep. Now, as you read that, you've got to wonder, really? Jesus, really? Put yourself in the woman's shoes. I've lost everything. I'm alone. My only family member, my beloved son is dead. My husband is dead. I'm a widow, and now my son is dead. The one who is to be with me and care for me. I have nothing. And you tell me, do not weep. Here we have a microcosm of the theological already and not yet. Jesus says, do not weep. Not because he's insensitive, but because he knows what he's about to do. The woman and the crowd have no idea who Jesus is. No idea the power he holds as God the Son. Jesus knows that her reason for weeping is about to go away. He knows the already. And he compassionately says to her, do not grieve anymore. And then, the second thing Jesus is moved to do is to touch the basket carrying the dead body. Luke 7, verse 14. And Jesus came up and touched the bier, the basket that the body was in. And the bearers stood still. This would have been shocking, because Jewish tradition would prohibit the touching of the basket. He would immediately have been rendered unclean, but Jesus does it anyway. The crowd can't believe what Jesus said. Do not weep. And now they can't believe what he did, touching the bier. And then Jesus shocks them a third time, and he speaks to the dead man. And Jesus said, the second half of verse 14, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Jesus here sees the woman. He connects with her situation. He discerns the Father's heart. And then he does what the Father leads him to do. And the result here, the young man is alive again and restored to his mother. This deep compassion, splanchnizomai, captures the Lord's love for and relationship with human beings. The Lord saw and understood your condition and my condition. He felt the loss of relationship because of sin breaking our relationship with him. And then he did something about it. The Lord sent his son to live as one of us. Jesus demonstrated compassion toward every one of you as he set aside his divine nature to live, to experience every feeling and emotion that you experience, and then to suffer and die only to conquer death in his resurrection. Jesus truly knows each of you. He knows all that you feel and experience, and he has truly felt deep compassion toward each of you. Not just empathy, not just sympathy, but compassion that has taken action and continues to take action through the work of the Holy Spirit. In compassion, the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, he calls to each of your hearts, asking you to turn away from the idols, the distractions, the selfish priorities which keep you from walking with him, that keep you from following his purpose and his plan for you, that keep you from hearing his voice, and that keep you from participating in his kingdom work in the world. This compassion, splanchnizomai, is it at the heart of our role as Jesus' witnesses to the world? Jesus has shown compassion to you, and now that compassion is a part of your call to follow him into the world. As followers of Jesus, you're commissioned by Jesus in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, into the world. Go into the world and proclaim the good news in Jesus Christ. This means following Jesus' example. Go into the world. This means compassion. This means slowing down to see those around you. This means listening for God's voice and then obeying what he leads you to do. To see, to connect, to discern, and then to do. As you see those who are lost, not knowing Jesus, as you connect with them, listening, hearing them, feeling their pain, as you prayerfully discern what you might do, what God would have you do, know that God will lead you in what to do next. And as you obey him, God will draw the world to himself. Sympathy and empathy are good and kind, but they are simply not enough to reach the world for Jesus. I feel sorry for you. Oh, I feel your pain. Those phrases simply fall short of reflecting the love of Jesus to others. Jesus' example to us was to see, to connect with others, to listen, to be moved with compassion, to discern, and then to take action. You must be willing to connect with others, to listen in discernment for the Holy Spirit's direction, and then be willing to obey what he calls you to do. Matthew 20 tells the story of two blind men yelling after Jesus and his disciples, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us!" They cried out asking Jesus to have mercy on them. And if you remember that story, the disciples weren't moved with compassion. They were annoyed. They were irritated. Jesus, can we just send these guys away? They didn't see. They didn't connect. They were too busy. But Jesus sees them. Jesus connects with them. And he's moved with compassion. He stops. And he heals them. He does what the Lord leads him to do, and he heals them. Now, we've discussed what compassion really is. And we've witnessed the four stages of compassion in Jesus' raising of the dead man. The four stages again: see, connect, discern, and do. Now, I need to give you a word of caution here. I need to strongly emphasize the third step, discernment. Especially speaking for myself as one who can easily function in an overly responsible way toward others. Discernment is crucial. You must take time, even just a moment of prayer, to ask God for his discernment, to discern God's heart before you jump in and take action. We are simply not called by God. We are not called by Scripture to help everyone and to do everything. It's so easy when you see someone struggling to hear that song in your head, "Here I come to save the day." And we jump in and help before we even ask God, "What would you have me do?" True godly compassion will be led by the Holy Spirit to help others, to help them, not to enable them. Now, helping means doing something for someone that they cannot do themselves. Helping means doing something for someone that they cannot do themselves. Enabling is doing something that someone should be doing for the moment, for themselves. Let me say it a different way. Enabling is doing for someone the things that they could and should be doing for themselves. Enabling is taking responsibility for someone else when they should be taking responsibility for themselves. Now, the only way you'll know the difference between helping and enabling is to listen for God's instruction and to trust his Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. The Lord may need for an individual to experience the consequences in their lives. He may need for them to hit bottom without someone jumping in to rescue them. The Lord may have a plan to work through brokenness and pain. The Lord may have a plan which can be easily interrupted when well-meaning people jump in. "Here I come to save the day." They jump in and rescue and save, and they take action without discerning. You must discern and listen for God's directions. He may just have you pray silently as you go along. He may not have you stop, but have you pray for them as you go by. He may direct you to stop and simply pray for the other person. Ask them their name. Ask them what's going on. Ask them if you can pray for them. He may not have you do anything else than that. No money, no rescuing. Nothing. Even as the person begs and pleads, he may not have you do anything else but pray. Of course, at other times, God may lead you to take concrete action. Do you remember the time I told the story a month or two ago? The time God moved me with compassion to give my running shoes away in the middle of a run to a homeless person. You must listen, discern, and then obey. Now, this past week, I was not a good example of this. It was early in the morning, I was at Winn-Dixie, and I just wanted to get out of that store and get on with my day. Well, there was a man in front of me, and it was clear he was struggling to have enough money to pay for whatever it was he was buying. He was counting out his change, and then it became clear that he was short. I told you, I was impatient. I was frustrated. I said, "Hey, I've got it. I'll cover it." I didn't ask. I didn't investigate. I didn't ask the man for his name. I didn't see what it was that I was helping him purchase. I didn't ask if I could pray for him. I just wanted to get out of there. So I paid his balance. And you know, he didn't even say thank you, as I recall. He just left. Now, the cashier praised me. "Gosh, that was such a wonderful thing that you did." And I immediately knew I blew it. I missed an opportunity to connect with him, to ask him his name. In my impatience, I saved the day, but I may have bought him something the Lord didn't want him to have. Now, that's a bad example. Now I want to tell you a good example of godly compassion. Mike Miller, of course, is our friend, our member, and our missionary in Honduras. And when Mike and Kim are in the States, they have a house in Tampa. And Mike told me this story this past week. They have a neighbor, an elderly woman, and it's just her and her dog. And one day he was leaving the house in his car. He was left his driveway and was driving down the street. He saw her, and he saw her outside sitting on her stoop, and he didn't see the dog. He saw and he connected. Wait, something's not right here. So he stopped the car and he backed up and he got out and he greeted her and he said, "What's wrong? I don't see your dog." And she looked at him and said, "My dog's dying and I don't know what to do. I can't lift him. I have no way to get him to the vet. I don't know what to do next." In Mike's heart, he stopped and he prayed and he knew what to do next. And he said to her, "Is there anything I can do for you right now? Can I help you?" She said, "Oh, no, no, you're busy." He said, "No. Can I help you right now?" And she said, "Could you please take me and my dog to the vet so I could put him down?" So Mike went into the house and he picked up the dog. He carried it to the car. And when they got to the vet's office was packed with people, but somehow they walked them straight back into a room. And while he was waiting there, they were waiting to put down her beloved dog. Mike said to her, "Would it be okay for me to pray for you while we're standing here?" And he did, and he prayed. And then as the technician came into the room, that technician joined them in the prayer as they prayed for this woman. Mike saw, he connected, he discerned, and then he did. Now that's a great story, but you still haven't heard the point of what God was doing there. Because after Mike drove her home, he got out of the car with her and he was walking her to the front door. And she stopped and she said, "Mike, thank you for helping me, but I have to tell you, when you prayed for me back in that office, no one has ever prayed for me before." Did you hear that? This woman in her 80s, no one had ever prayed for her before. This wasn't about helping. This was about God's heart for that woman, that she would know God's love for her. And God's love flowing through Mike as he obeyed. As followers of Jesus, as Jesus' witnesses to a lost and hurting world, we must follow Jesus' example of compassion. We must be willing to walk through the four steps of compassion daily, moment by moment, to keep our eyes open to what God may be doing around us, to listen and allow the Lord to speak into those situations. We must be willing to allow the Lord to interrupt our lives with His mission and ministry. We must be willing to be His hands, His feet, and His love to the world. Lord Jesus, may we be followers. May we be Your followers who reflect Your compassion to the world, who are not too busy to be interrupted by Your work. And may lives be changed as we obey what You call us to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.